everybody. John Palmer.
Anthony Chiffo.
And this is Listen Up. Jesus is on the air.
And welcome. You bring great joy to our hearts. We're two kids from Brooklyn and Queens with love of Jesus in our hearts. Oh, and we want to spread that love to you.
And that's Al Barbarino singing in the background. It's our new theme song, written by
Paul Val Music.
Enjoy. We'll be back.
With gladness, and it puts our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Our heart is filled with fear. Turn it over to sweet Jesus. Watch your worries disappear. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way.
Tony, that certainly expresses what this show is all about. Trust God.
Absolutely. And thank Him every day. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him.
We know you enjoyed our show last week, and we're trying very hard to top last week with this week, and we'll see how that goes. Come on, Al, finish your song.
Well, here we are, John. Our first endeavor of being interactive with the parishes. We're at the Cure of Ours Church men's group, and we're having a great time.
Now, I looked around, Tony, and there was no tar and no feathers. They're not going to come after us tonight. What do you think?
Oh, no. These guys are great. They're so friendly. They're coming over to us. This is a real treat. This is our first endeavor, and you know what? I love it, John.
And we're going to be with the prayer group. And we're going to interview some of the men, and then we're going to have a repeat of one of your saints, Saint Joseph, and we're going to go over the stuff that we did with Brother Andre, and then we're going to pray for healing.
And John, we're going to see how loving, how devoted men really are to Jesus. I could see it in their eyes. I could see it just by coming over and greeting us. John,
this was wonderful.
This is wonderful.
Okay, well, folks, here we go.
Here we are, John, at the Cure of Oz Men's Group.
Yeah, boy, isn't that something?
And this is our first, our very first audience show.
Audience, not even participation.
But audience show. So our very first, this is a milestone.
And we have Tony here, Anthony, who's the head of the group. Tell us a little bit about the group.
Well,
first of all, tell people who you are.
Oh, my name is Anthony Gentile. I'm one of the...
Haven't we had you on one of our
shows?
Everybody
knows Anthony
Everybody
Gentile.
Knows him. Okay.
Yeah, you know me. I'm the crazy guy who was on the show 2 weeks ago with my very passionate father.
Okay.
I'm one of the leaders here of the Men of the Curie of Ars, the men's group here at Curie of Ars Parish in Merrick. And we're a Catholic men's formation group. And the reason we say we're a formation group is because we're not just about... you know, being nice to each other or hanging out or just even about just praying together. We're about really forming ourselves into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's what we do here. And that's why you're here, because you've heard about us and you want to tell the world about us.
That's right.
Tony, you're proof positive that real men love Jesus. And that's our motto. Real men love Jesus.
Amen to that.
But we also had a nun on her program, Sister Joan Kellenberg. And she said, real women love Jesus, too.
Everyone loves Jesus.
Hey, Tony, we're just going to move around a bit, and we have a couple of men here that are special that we want to talk to. So we'll get on to them as the day progresses, or as the night progresses, okay?
Or absolutely.
As the meeting progresses, rather. And you're going to have a speaker? You're going to have
Yes, our speaker tonight is Father James Zaboyna. He's a Redemptorist priest, and he's actually my spiritual director. I know him very well. Very, very holy man. He's talking tonight. The name of his talk is Scandal Shall Come, and it's about protecting your family from the influence of the media.
Quickly tell us a little something about your men's group and your recruiting methods, and are you looking for additional recruits?
Absolutely. Any man can join our group. Just show up. We're 7:30 on the third Mondays and the first Thursdays. Our website is www.curemen.blogspot.com. You can find us on Facebook as well. And we welcome anybody who's Catholic and wants to learn more about Christ and really dedicate their hearts to Jesus Christ.
Wonderful. Great.
Very quickly, mm-hmm. What does your meetings consist of? What do you do with your meetings?
We have usually a little bit of business and prayer in the beginning. Then we go into our main speaker. Right now we're in the middle of a lecture series, which is spanning over a year. It's called Put on the New Man. So we have our speaker, some question and answer, and then we have a little, we end the night with Eucharistic Adoration in the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's awesome. Great.
All men, welcome.
Absolutely.
Okay. Have a phone number, too, just in case.
516-817-0246, oneflesh1230@live.com is my email address.
Okay,
and
thank
you. What was that website again?
Curemen, C-U-R-E-M-E-N, .blogspot.com.
Great.
Right, Tony, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be looking forward to interviewing some of your men.
Great. Awesome. Right-o. Have a good night.
We got Joe.
And Joe.
I'm 5'4".
5'4"?
I used to be 5'6".
You too? Me too. What happened?
We're here at the men's group of the Curie of Ars, and this guy, Tony, a friend of mine, he hooked in three Joes.
We got the three Joes here.
Okay. Tell us about what the prayer group is like for you. What do you get out of it?
Out of this,
you're Joe number one.
Joe number one.
5 foot.
He's the oldest. He's the oldest, by the way.
Okay,
yes,
Joe.
I'm the oldest. What I get is a lot of camaraderie. Like everyone here, we're all in the same boat. We're all climbing the mountain together. Some of us are climbing ahead of us. Some of us are climbing behind. And what I find is we're all together. And that brings us, you know, beautiful. It's beautiful.
Okay, Joe, too. How about you?
This is Joe Jr.
Joe
Jr.,
yes.
This
is Joe 1's son.
Correct.
Right.
So we'll get the scorecard.
We're
going to
get it going. We got three Joes here.
How did you get here, and what did you get out of this?
My father made me come.
Again?
True. Like we all do.
Well, that's true.
I do. I got a lot of good stuff out of it. It's good. My dad always said, birds of a feather flock together. It's good to hang out with a bunch of guys who have a good... you know, God-fearing, red-blooded Americans that, you know, do the right thing by their families, work hard, and lead their families.
Let's do the last show, and then I got a question I want to ask the whole three guys.
The last show has a testimony,
Yes. Yes. Okay. Let me ask you the question now instead. When did Jesus come into your lives? And how did Jesus come into your lives?
You could answer that, Joe.
I guess technically at baptism, but I went on a young adult Christian awakening when I was about 18 years old. Another thing my dad made me do.
Us dads.
And that was, yeah, that was, it was a great, great time, you know, a tremendous amount of spirituality with a bunch of 18-year-olds. You know, it was a great thing. Wonderful.
Mount Carmel.
Yeah, we also used to go to Mount Carmel up in Vermont for family weekends, which was they were wonderful weekends, a lot of spirituality, a lot of fun.
Okay, how about you, Joe?
I made a marriage account of weekend in 1975, and that started me on the quest. I found my wife on the weekend, but I was reading the Bible. They talked about the Bible, which I knew nothing about the Bible. And I started reading the Bible, and I said, Methuselah lived 900 years? I said to myself, I don't think so, you know. And I said, the Bible is a bunch of, I'm not going to say it on over here. So then I said to myself, everyone reads the Bible, and they get something out of it. I read the Bible, I get nothing out of it. So I heard about a Curcio.
Ah.
St. Paul's, Humboldt Street, Brooklyn, 1976.
My neighborhood, baby.
Okay. The Curcio was, I guess, the clincher for me. I found God on the Curcio, that he loved me despite me.
Isn't that great? We all find that out, huh?
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That's the beauty. That's the beauty of our God.
And that was my quest. You know, that was the start of my journey. Like, the journey, like, of prayer groups, charismatic renewal, praying with Mr. John here. and also just, you know, it was just a wonderful, my life started then.
Wonderful. Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.
From Humboldt Street?
I'm from Schoolman Avenue.
We grew up on Ainslie Street.
Ah, right around the corner from us. Really, what's your last name?
Villafane, but my family
was Chifo.
The Caiaffas and the Martinos.
Caiaffas, the Caiaffas I know, and the Martinos I know. Really?
That's my family.
Small world, man.
Well, Joe, what's your name?
My name's Joe Villafane.
And we were told by Tony that you have something special that you'd like to share.
Well, we were talking one day about our journeys and how we got to where we are in our faith right now, and we were kind of spoke a little bit about it, and I said to him, well, you know, what brought me back to the church was, I guess, I was working hard and hanging out with other types of men's groups, let's say, and you know, it was always a long air. I drifted away from the church, and little by little, things were happening in life where you're up, you're down, you're up, you're down, and I started to pray and ask God for forgiveness, and I went to confession, and slowly but surely, things started turning around, and I said to myself, well, maybe this actually is a really, you know, a good thing to be doing and to get back into what we've learned as little kids. Mm-hmm. And then I continued to go to church more regularly with my wife, who was trying for years to get me back to church, and, you know, began praying, and we joined the men's group and really started to realize why we were doing it. You know, when you find a difference between the religious rules and your actual spirituality starts to come through.
Your heart, huh?
Your heart, right.
Gets into your heart.
Right.
What did Jesus do to you by coming into your life?
He's given me an abundance of riches, family around all the time. You appreciate the things. I was a workaholic, constantly working for the fancy car, for the nice vacation, to go out to dinner. And it just, you know, I ended up losing all that more than one time. And now when I began to pray, it was to have a car that worked, or to have my family around me for Sunday dinner instead of running out all the time for dinner. Mm-hmm. And those are the riches that really mean something and last forever.
Family values. We had a show on that last week. Right, Dr. Palmer?
And that really is it. And
it's almost like you had a whole new conversion experience.
A whole brand new conversion, and it's great. I became a lector this year. And not just someone up there reading, where you really realize that the liturgy of the word is so important, and what that role as a lector is for you. It's just
sets
amazing.
The groundwork
without
for the
a
Bible.
Doubt.
It lays amazing. The groundwork.
It's
the
amazing.
Bible.
And the work we're doing here with this group is, it's just a bunch of regular guys who experience the same things on a daily basis, but yet we're growing in our faith. We're a group. I mean, look, everybody comes in, they're wearing their shirts, and it's a group, and and there's a lot of love, and I know I can depend on any one of these guys here at any time for anything, and it's a good thing.
Well, that's wonderful.
So I assume you thank Jesus every day?
Every day, every day. I go to Mass during the week, not just on Sunday. Sometimes I go every day to Mass.
You know what the difference is that I see in you that I'm hearing from a couple of other men that we've talked to? You're excited about Jesus?
Very much excited. Very much.
He just has lit a fire in you.
I used to get to church 5 minutes late. Now I'm there 20 minutes early, you know, and you just, I'm praying that my heart opens up, that what we're going to receive at that Mass, it's just a total different excitement.
What's it meant for your wife and your children?
It's wonderful. You know, our youngest son just received his confirmation. When he was younger, we were kind of, you know, always working and busy, and we kind of said, well, let's wait for him to be a little older, and maybe he'll really understand what he's doing for his confirmation. Then to try and get him back was almost impossible. And then our middle son had a baby and asked him to be the godfather. And then in order to be the godfather, he had to make his confirmation. So it just was all like the Holy Spirit was making it happen.
That's right. Once you open yourself up to God's love, everything falls into place.
It's the truth.
Joe, thank you.
Thank you.
It's really great.
And your story is
congratulations.
Inspirational.
Thank you.
It really is.
Thank you.
Good.
And it's good to see that you went as far as becoming a lector in the church.
Yes.
And you're participating in the Mass.
It's wonderful.
And believe me, there's extra blessings with that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. So. Thank you.
Thank you,
Joe. I'm too old to be a deacon.
A lot of people tell me this, that they want to be a deacon, and here I am. I never aspired to it.
We're standing here with Ron Federici at the Men of Curie of Ours prayer meeting. Mm-hmm. And Tony, isn't this a great place to be?
This is a great place to be. This is proof positive that real men love Jesus.
He likes that phrase.
I love that statement.
He likes that phrase. Tell us, Ron, what is this group like for you?
Well, it's a great, I hate to say support group, but it is. It's more than just support, though. It's men, just regular guys getting together, and like Paul asks us to build each other up, encourage one another. And that's what we do here. And, you know, it's just regular guys coming down to talk, to share their faith. It's, you know, in today's world, it's difficult to share your faith out there sometimes. So this is a place where men, they feel very comfortable here, opening up.
And tell us about how you got into the deacon program.
Well, it is
Kathy
the Holy
Drake
Spirit.
Did Kathy drag you there?
Did what?
Did Kathy drag you there? Your wife?
No.
How quickly they forget the name.
No.
We better not play this. I think it's
No, that's fine. But it wasn't Kathy. It was something, definitely the Holy Spirit, because it's something I never aspired for.
Uh-huh.
And I never really thought about it. But when you look back on your life, you see how God puts pieces in place.
Yep.
And so it was something that was not in the forefront of my mind, but it has come about. Really, I believe the Holy Spirit, and especially when I went to Medjugorje a few years back,
okay.
Great, great confirmations. Mm-hmm. Not only there, but confirmations really everywhere I go, and so it's very much more deep. And the best way I can explain it, because people say, well, "What'd you hear? Did you hear God? You know, calling Ron?" And no, but it just feels like someone just pressing and pushing gently on the shoulder, just.
Yeah.
And don't
push
go.
Me too hard.
No.
I fall over.
But it's been more like that. It's been like a gentle movement.
You find that God is kind of personal and intimate and friendly?
Yes, but that took a while because as a child, I didn't feel that way. You know, as a child, it was very distant and abstract, but yes.
But now, above all, I think you captured it. Jesus is gentle.
Yeah.
Doesn't push you.
No, come on.
He's just slowly guiding you.
Yes.
When
that's
did he
how
first
it's been.
Come into your life?
Well, at my baptism, I guess. But to my conscious knowledge, well, I remember my first Holy Communion, my first confession. Those are very important times.
Absolutely.
That I still remember. Yes. That were very big. But then I drifted away, as so many of us do. And he became much more active in my life, really, when I had children. That was a big turning point for me when my children were born. I'd say that's when it really picked up.
Mm-hmm.
I had a desire to come back to the faith. And we did, my family.
And music has kind of brought you back too, hasn't it?
Yes, and that's an another story.
I
but
know.
But
Tell us a little bit about it.
The brief version is, for many years I sat in the parish, a local parish, and I looked at the musicians up in the loft, and I thought about it. And we're at this parish for about 9 years, and I thought about it and thought about it. and did nothing. I went to St. Barnabas in Belmont.
Okay.
And my son, who was 9 at the time, played drums, still does, and he was sitting in the pews. It was during Lent, and he was drumming on his lap as the group was playing. It was a family liturgy, so it was upbeat, a lot of children, and yet they had other men and women playing guitars and other. And so he goes, "Dad, I really want to play with them." So I said, "Okay, after Mass, we'll go take a look, you know, check it out." So once I went over there after Mass, and the choir director found out I'm a music teacher, and said, "Oh, you have to come down." And so to shorten the story, that was the beginning. And the way I see it is God said, basically, "Okay, Ron, if you're not going to move, I'll move your son, and I'll bring you in through that." So God uses other people. Unexpected. Yes. My son was an avenue for me to get back, to praise the Lord in music, which was brand new to me. That was brand new.
We learned on our radio programs that God uses other people, right, Dr. Palmer?
Yeah, but also you have a friend who's part of the music group.
Yes.
We had John Finelli on.
That's correct. And that's where I met John at St. Barnabas. And he was a musician in the group, the family liturgy. And, you know, when you meet people, you think they've been doing it forever. And so I thought he was there for years and years and years. But he was only there 1 year before me, you know, and we became
very good
friends.
His story is much like yours.
Yeah.
He kind of, and at the same church.
Yes.
At St. Barnabas.
Yes, that was St. Barnabas.
Where are you now?
Our parish is at Curie of Oz.
Oh, you're at Curie of Oz?
Yeah.
So you're going to be a deacon at Curie of Oz.
God willing.
And I'm going to be looking for you.
You're 2 years into it?
Yes, 2 years. Two more years to go.
Two more to go.
Yes.
We'll pray for you.
And that's the beginning.
Pleasure to
yes,
have you on.
Pleasure, yes. Okay,
thank
great,
you.
Great.
I know.
Okay, good.
You're an
inspiration.
Thank you.
Wow, thank you. Okay.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the prayer group here and what's happened?
Okay. Well, the prayer group began about 2.5 years ago after the first men's conference in Hicksville, diocesan men's conference. And so Father Charles asked myself and a few other guys if we were interested in forming a men's group. So we began this men's group. And for the first year or so, you know, we did well, but we were kind of finding our way and the direction was a little unsure. And I know this gentleman does not really want the praise. He's very humble that way, but very, very inspired by the Holy Spirit. And God works very well through all of us. And Anthony Gentile came in, and we kind of handed the reins over a bit. And he has just taken it. And this group is moving very powerfully. And it's almost like when we said, "Anthony, okay, why don't you kind of take the lead on this?" And it was almost like, I remember said to one of the other men on the core group, I said, "Okay, now fasten your seatbelts and hold on, because here we go." And it really has been that way. It's just a great inspiration and an infusion of life and direction. Mm-hmm. And that was about 1.5 years ago, and it's been growing. Wonderful speakers. You see, if you look around, the men are very comfortable with each other.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And yet we're very, you know, very welcoming with new people. There's no pressure that you must attend or anything, you know. It's just
no
a very relaxed group.
No clicks.
And no clicks. When you look around, you see. And
we're now up to about 12 men's prayer groups, active men's prayer groups in the diocese. And we're hoping to get one in every parish.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, we get the men, we get the family.
Yes, my beginning with men's group really was when I went out to St. Killian's and I saw their group a few years back.
Okay.
A very strong group. Mm-hmm. Father Fitzgerald was there at the time.
Farmingdale?
Yeah,
Farmingdale.
Yeah. And so that was another little impetus to get something going here. Yeah. So.
Well, we're going to say thanks again.
Okay.
And we're going to move on.
And we'll keep you in prayer.
All right.
Keep us in prayer.
Okay.
Thank you. That's the way I see it.
And you are?
Donald Hanson.
Donald Hanson. And Donald, Tony and I have a radio show. And we came here to the men's group tonight because we're going to pick the minds and the hearts of every man here. And we want to find out, what's this prayer group like for you? It's a men's prayer group. What's it like for you?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's all men that are just like us, struggling through this journey. And it's all great guys. We're all in the same boat on this earth together. And it's really great. It's really great. And it's so different. It's so diverse because of the age groups, as you'll see.
I see. It's a mixture. Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful. You know, everybody's praying for each other. And there's nothing that could be better out there in the world, in my opinion.
Tony told us that you had a conversion because of this. prayer group in some ways?
I grow every day.
Okay.
Every single day when I read the word of the Lord, it's amazing, as you know. If you read it, and every single day,
there is
just another something that fascinates you, and you're like, holy mackerel, that happened to me yesterday, or I just thought of it, and now I read it, you know, and then the guys are great. Anthony is like a brother, powerful.
We're getting good
you know, thank support. Goodness I've been here from the beginning, and really, my story, just to hear, do you know Father Charles?
Sure.
When he told me that his dream, as a priest for 20 years, his dream was to have a men's club, that he never had one before,
mm-hmm.
I was like, to fulfill that dream for him, to join, I was like, such a simple thing. Not only that, if that's what he dreams and he can't put together, if you could help somebody that's helping everybody, it was such a simple thing. And then it came to be, I mean, we're here a couple years now, and it seems like a day, and then it seems like a life, you know?
I get the distinct impression that Jesus plays a very important part in your life.
Oh, yes.
When did Jesus first come into your life?
I've been religious my whole life, but only up until maybe 4 or 5 years ago when I really started searching for something else. I knew it wasn't in alcohol. I had just quit drinking just because it was too much. I got a lot of kids, and it was a time for me. You know, I was raised my whole life drinking. Not a problem. Just, it was where we were raised.
Social drinking.
Yeah. Nah, because it was more than social drinking. It was fun drinking because we were all friends.
Yep.
Okay.
And that was life, you know? But as soon as you give that up, now you have time. And when you're not under that influence of alcohol or drugs, it's as you guys know, there's so much time. And then when you find the right thing,
then you're in love.
Oh, then you are in love. Then,
we gotta calm down because they're gonna start the prayer group meeting.
Don't worry, I know these. I know
they'll be all right.
You know the
boss, the big boss.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Don, all the best.
Ron Federici and Fred Kruder, they've been selflessly giving us their time and musical talents for God knows how long now, and we're very grateful to have them here. Ron, you're going to be with us for 2 more months now, right? July and August, maybe?
Yes.
Well, August, maybe not, because of the pilgrimage.
That's true. I won't be here in August.
But Ron, once again, he's starting his
third year
of diaconate formation, cool. So we need to keep him. Thank you. That's right.
Time I think, yes, Fred, this, when I came down tonight, I was looking at the song Do Not Be Afraid, and this has kind of become our opening hymn. It has been for a couple of years. What's that? Right, I know. And I said, you know, maybe we should look for something a little more contemporary. And every time I start to think this way, and this is how God works, every time I get in the way, he gets it straight. And so as I'm listening to the prayer intentions that we're offering tonight, and I look at the song, and I see, no, this is perfect. You know, with everything that people are going through, and all those people we just prayed for, and are praying for tonight, the song is perfect. And so we thank the Lord for keeping us on going straight when we return to the right or left. And so we will sing, pray, we will pray, be not afraid.
Walk in the park and safety, though you do.
So let's move on with our show into Saints Alive with this beautiful prayer song by Celine Dion
and Andrea Bocelli. Tony, who do you have for us today on Saints Alive?
Well, John, since we featured the Blessed Mother Mary last week, I thought it would be only fitting and proper to feature St. Joseph, Jesus' foster father, who was also selected by our Heavenly Father to be in the Holy Family. So St. Joseph was an ordinary sort of a person and whom God chosen to take care of his son, Jesus. He accepted that chore and without any qualms, and he was faithful to the word of our Heavenly Father. He was an honorable person. The Blessed Mother told St. Bridget that Joseph is an honorable person. You'll never hear a foul word out of his mouth. He'll only speak very, very seldomly, because most of the time he's in prayer. And his prayer is always to obeying our Heavenly Father. He spent, there's not much known about St. Joseph, quite honestly. It's sort of a mystery and sort of a guessing game.
But you know, as a man, I love that you're focusing on St. Joseph. What faith he must have had just to accept what happened to the Blessed Mother and her saying God made her pregnant. How hard that must have been for him.
Well, that was one of St. Joseph's powerful virtues. He was such a righteous man, and the Blessed Mother said that to St. Bridget. St. Joseph is a righteous man, and he believes in our Heavenly Father. He believes in God, and he loved Mary, and he knew that Mary was the righteous person, and he would not condemn her, but he wanted to protect her.
And we should all think about praying through St. Joseph. Everybody thinks about praying through the Blessed Mother, but sometimes, why not pray through St. Joseph for your family's needs?
St. Joseph has proven to be a very, very powerful healer and a very, very powerful intercessor. And I think that although he's such a meek, was such a meek man, he stood in the background, and he gladly stood in the background. But you know what the Blessed Mother told St. Bridget? He was gentle, he was quiet, he was humble, but he was a great protector of Mary and Jesus. And he protected them very well.
And he responded to a dream to take Jesus and get out of town, because Herod was about to kill all the young babies.
Absolutely. He not only responded to the dream, he responded to all the dreams that he had, that the angel told him that Mary was going to conceive a child and to get out of town because of Herod, and then to bring him back into Bethlehem. And whatever dream he had, he responded and he obeyed and he listened.
And I remember the scripture, Joseph, be not afraid to marry Mary. She is with child, not from another man. She is with child to fulfill God's plan.
Mary also said, I'm talking about St. Joseph, that he rarely spoke to other men, because his whole desire was to speak to our Heavenly Father. And he just continually loved to talk to God on a continuous basis.
And I just heard something recently, Tony. Remember how we all say the Memorare?
Absolutely.
Now, there's one for St. Joseph. You insert his name instead of the Blessed Mother's name.
Wow, that's powerful.
It's the Memorare.
That's really powerful. The Holy Family, of course, is made up of Mary and Jesus and St. Joseph. But mostly it's Mary and Jesus that's remembered in Christmas time. But we should not forget St. Joseph, because he was a very important part of Christmas and the Nativity and protecting Jesus and Mary. And he was a great protector, and he's still a great protector. I think that if given the opportunity to ask him to intercede, he'll be there and he'll intercede. By the way, although there's not much known about St. Joseph, he did spend most of Jesus's 12 years strictly with Jesus, teaching him the carpenter trade. Unfortunately, after that, there's not much known after, so it's thought that St. Joseph died around after they found Jesus in the temple. But Mary has found memories of St. Joseph, and he's got his reward in heaven right now.
And anybody who is listening who has trouble with their father and forgiving their father, pray to St. Joseph. Pray to St. Joseph, and he'll help you. with forgiveness of your father for any damage done there. He's such a special saint. I'm so glad you chose him for today.
It was no more right and fitting and proper to choose St. Joseph for today. I think I just want to also mention that St. Joseph is part of the Holy Family. He's held in reverence second to Jesus and the Blessed Mother. And if you notice in church, when you go to church and you're facing the altar, on the left side is the Blessed Mother Mary and the right side is St. Joseph. And so he's held in high reverence in the annals of the church.
And in the middle, in the tabernacle, is their child, Jesus.
Yes.
It's a place for the family.
And it's Jesus. And, you know, St. Joseph reminds me so much of Jesus and the humility that Jesus had, the humility that St. Joseph had, how Jesus did not want to indulge himself or did not want to impose himself on anyone. And the same, I think, went for St. Joseph. And so I think it reminds me very much of St. Joseph.
Wonderful. And later on, in fact, almost immediately, I'm going to talk about a healer in Brother Andre, who had tremendous devotion to St. Joseph. They kind of go together. So men, this part of the show is for men only. Women, I'm sorry, you cannot listen. This is the time in our program when we want to focus on healing. We know so many of you have sent in petitions, and we pray for them. But you know, there are a lot of people who don't believe that healing actually takes place. That's why we decided to have a healer of the day on each show. And what better healer to have today, since Tony talked about St. Joseph, then Brother Andre of the Oratory of St. Joseph in Canada. He has such a devotion to St. Joseph. And he healed people by rubbing them with the oil from the candles from the oratory. In fact, he was looked upon as a healing machine. My wife, before she was diagnosed with brain cancer, had just finished a book about healers. So the material I'm going to use is from her book, which will be out probably next summer. And she talks about Patricia Treese, who did a book on Brother Andre. And she estimated that the healings through Brother Andre's ministry were modestly counted at 1,000 per year for 60 years. He was in his 90s when he died, although they expect that twice the number was a more likely number. 40 people an hour pass by the frail 5'3" Holy Cross brother. My wife in her book says Brother Andre was a healing machine, and truly he was. In fact, he was such a healer that healings even took place during his funeral. For 7 days, 1 million people filed past his coffin. During the funeral, an asthmatic man was healed instantly. A 4-year-old who had never walked took his first step when held up to touch Brother Andre in the coffin. A girl in a wheelchair was healed. An 8-year-old, Arthur Ducharme, was injured in an accident 5 months before Andre's death. The nerves and muscles in Arthur's right arm were cut to the bone by glass. Amputation was recommended. But the arm healed, but it still was inert. Arthur had to use a sling to support it. In 1937, there was no way to rejoin severed muscles and nerves. The child touched Brother Andre's body, and his arm was instantly healed. The boy then carried chairs around the sacristy to prove his healing. In fact, some were healed listening to the funeral prayers over the radio. One of them, crippled by rheumatism in his joints, a retired traffic police veteran of 19 years, invalid Francois Lecuyer, had not been helped by doctors. When his feet swelled, Francois needed crutches to walk. As the invalid and his family prayed along with the radio, Lecuyer felt sick and tears ran down his face. The family thought Francois was having a heart attack and moved him out of the room. When the prayers ended, Lecuyer reached for his crutch, realized it was in the other room, and rose without pain to fetch it. He says later, it's only after 7 or 8 minutes that it hit him. Then he's cured. Excitedly, he called to his wife to bring his shoes, and the wife exclaimed, "You know very well you can't put on your shoes. Your foot is too swollen." However, the invalid's foot slid easily into the shoe. Lecuyer hurried to the oratory to squeeze the corpse's foot as a thank you. A girl was close to death from peritonitis. Her mother rushed to the hospital to the coffin of Brother Andre. Frantic woman touched religious objects to the body and hurried back to the hospital to give them to the child. Arriving once more at the hospital, word is still, child won't live through the night. But by evening, she was already on the mend. Imagine, that was at his funeral. I thought this would get your attention. And that's why I want to share just a few of the miracles that did happen while he was alive. A machinist had molten lead explode in his face. The flesh melted away, leaving one great swollen blister. Lucien Galarano rushed to an eye doctor who ordered dark glasses and 8 days in a dark room before attempting a prognosis. Then, despite frigid temperatures of 17 degrees below, the young man and his fiancée went to see Brother Andre at St. Joseph's Oratory. The burned man said, "Brother Andre, you can see I'm too young to lose my sight. You can do something." Brother Andre said, "Who said you were going to lose your sight? Attend Mass, go to communion, continue your medical remedies. Add to them a drop of oil of St. Joseph. All will go away. Go well. Good day now. Have confidence." After Mass, Lucien went to a restaurant near the oratory. The owner wept when she saw his burned face. That night, the young man's fiancée applied oil from the votive lamp burning at the St. Joseph shrine. They prayed as the oil was applied. The next morning, oh wonder, lifted as if they were leaves of cellophane. The scarred, blistered flesh came off my face. The area, even of the eyelids, was completely healed, and my appearance, in fact, was perfect. There was no sign of the wound, healing flesh, or scar, and no pain. When the healed man thanked Brother Andre the following Sunday, Brother Andre told him, "Thank St. Joseph," and continued to pray. The restaurant owner kept asking Lucien if he really was the gentleman whose face had been so badly burnt the Sunday before. She couldn't believe her eyes. On April 23rd, 1944, Lucien Galarano and a number of witnesses to his healing in 1925 testified for the dossier of the beatification cause of Brother Andre. He was called the wonder worker of miracle by French Canadians. Brother Andre stood for 6.5 hours or more, receiving several hundred people a day at a rate of about 40 an hour. You know, sometimes just passing by Brother Andre. People were healed. Once in a while, he'd lay on hands by rubbing an affected body part vigorously with St. Joseph's oil, or with a medal of St. Joseph. Once even, Father Clement, whose sight had been restored by Andre's prayer, said, "Surely you don't think you're going to make his feet work by rubbing these boards?" He referred to an injury that left a man's feet attached to his body by a bit of skin. The man had two wooden boxes made to protect each foot from jostling, experienced as he was carried through crowds to see Brother Andre. The brother rubbed the boxes prayerfully for a period of time every day for 3 or 4 days. Then he said, "Now we're going to take off these boxes, and I believe your feet will be in fine shape." And they were. "There's nothing absolutely wrong with you," Brother Andre would say. "People seeking healings might be appalled, but soon realized they'd been cured. Andre affected irascibility to avoid being reverenced as a healer." Friends healed through Andre's prayers drove the frail old man to visit the sick evenings after he finished long hours at the oratory. Often, Brother Andre's health was worse than that of those he visited, but Andre did not worry about catching diseases suffered by those he visited or about hurtling through the night on icy roads. He often said, "When one puts himself in God's hands, one gives oneself to whatever he wills." Deeply shy with strangers, the holy man was full of merriment with friends despite pitiful health and an exhausting schedule. Andre's presence cheered the sick, whether he knew them or not. Returning home from visits, he would pray all night, some nights, and slept only a couple of hours for the remainder, rising before 5 a.m. to pray some more. Despite his weakness and lack of rest, Andre lived to the age of 92. And he's very happy where he is because he left the word, "You know, I'll be glad when I return to heaven because I'll be closer to God and I can do much more from there than I could even while I was here on earth." Isn't that amazing? That's the gift of healing. It's real. Now, we don't see it as often as we would like, but it's real. And of course, if we lived in Montreal or Quebec, in Canada, we would see all those crutches on the walls. So today, through St. Joseph and through St. Andre, we're going to pray for your petitions. And we're going to ask God to heal them. People have written in so many petitions, praying for a son who was addicted. We pray, Lord, through the intercession of Andre and St. Joseph, that the addiction, the curse of addiction, be healed not only in the young people that we receive petitions for, but for all. We received petitions for people in depression, and we ask, Lord, please touch those who are depressed. Heal them, Lord. Touch them. Touch them as only you can. We believe in a personal, intimate relationship with God. So that's why we presume to ask for healing. Will healing occur? We don't know. There are so many people out of work. We ask you, Lord, please find jobs so that families can live and eat and be at peace. Help with broken relationships, Lord. People who are angry at you, Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to enter into them, touch them. Free them from that anger. Take that hot coal out of their throat. We thank you, Lord, for being with us in just these few moments as we pray for those who have offered petitions here. We know you already know their petitions. So now we ask those of you who are listening at home, just sit quietly for a few minutes. Allow the presence of the Holy Spirit to rise up in you. Clear your mind. Jesus knows what you need healed. Just be still as our Spirit touches you. Come, Holy Spirit, renew the hearts of the faithful and even the unfaithful. Touch their hearts now, Lord. Touch them, Lord, with your love. For those who have been away from confession, the sacrament of reconciliation, touch them, Lord, so that they return and are reconciled with you. For those who have been away from the Eucharist and receiving your true presence in the Eucharist, Lord, clear the path for them so that they may become one in love with you physically at Mass. We believe in the true presence in the Eucharist, and we know that your presence in the Eucharist heals. Each Mass is a healing Mass. So we ask you, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, touch those who somehow have turned their back on our church, been hurt by our church in some way or whatever, and bring them back, Lord. Heal them. Let them know your presence now, Lord. Thank you. We thank you, Lord, in advance. We thank you. And we thank St. Joseph and St. Andre for petitioning for these healings today. And we ask, Lord, that those who have been touched return to the fold and come back to your heart, to your Sacred Heart, and to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing right now in the hearts, the minds, the souls of those who are listening to these words. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you.
You got a friend in me. Some Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am, big and stronger too, maybe, but none of them will ever love you the way I do. It's me and you, boy, and as the years go by, a friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's our destiny. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.